Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, everyone. So we are reading today Canto 10, Chapter 46, in verses 20 through 24. It's a lot of nectar, 10th canto. So we're going to read the first one responsively. And the other ones we'll read together, like usual. All right. So text 20. Da Vagner Vata Varcha Cha Visha Sarpak Chat Rakshita Duratyaya Yebhyo Mrityubhyat Krishnenasu Mahatmana Da Vagner Vata Varsa Chat Visha Sarpak Chat Rakshita Duratyaya Yebhyo Mrityubhya Krishnenasu Mahatmana Vaishnavas. Vaishnavis. So word for word, Dava Agne, from the forest fire, Vata, from the wind, Varshat, and rain, Cha, also, Risha, from the bull, Sarpat, from the serpent, Cha, and Rakshita, protected, Duratyayebhya, unsurmountable, Mrityubhya, from mortal dangers, Krishnena, by Krishna, Sumahatmana, the very great soul. Translation. We were saved from the forest fire, the wind and rain, the bull and serpent demons, from all such unsurmountable deadly dangers, by that very great soul, Krishna. We used to read together at least one verse in English, so let's do that. This is such a beautiful verse. So let's, everybody together now. We were saved. fire, the wind and rain, the bull and serpent demons, from all such unsurmountable deadly dangers by that very great soul, Krishna. All right. Now I'm going to read the Sanskrit for all three left verses. Smaratam Krishna Vidyani Lila Panga Nidikshitam Rasitam Basitam Changa Sarvanasti Sitilakriya Sarik Jaila Vanodesham Mukunda Padavushitam Akridam Ikshamananam Manoyatita Atmanam Manye Krishnam Charamam Cha Raptap iha surotamam suranam maha artaya gargasya vachanam ayatta ksha kamsam nagayuta pranam malo gaja patinyata avadishtam lila yaiva pusham iva mrigadipaha. Alright. And that the meaning is, so verse 21, as we remember the wonderful deeds Krishna performed, this is Nanda Maharaj speaking to Uddhava. So as we remember the wonderful deeds Krishna performed, his playful sidelong glances, his smiles, and his words, O Uddhava, we forget all our material entanglements. Verse 22, when we see the places where Mukunda enjoys his sporting pastimes, the rivers, hills, and forests he decorated with his feet, our minds become totally absorbed in him. In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Gargarishi. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the wrestlers Chanura and Mastika, and the elephant Kupalayapida. They killed them all sportingly, as easy as a lion disposes of small animals. Poor part. Here, Nanda means to say, not only did Gargamuni declare that these boys are divine, but just see what they have done. Everyone is talking about it. Om Agnata Mirandasya Janjana Shalakaya Chakshuramitam Janatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. At first, when I look at these verses, I said, well, what am I going to talk about? So, and then I start reading about the pastimes, and it's so surcharged with emotion that I got some interesting quotes from different acharyas, you know, on this pastime. So I thought that we're going to talk today about how Nanda remembers, you know, the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, his form, his lila. And then talk about Uddhava. Yeah, Uddhava has been talked about extensively in the past classes. So Uddhava, and then the superhuman Krishna. You know, the Krishna, Nanda Maharaj thinks Krishna is to be and Balaram to be demigods. So that's Nanda Maharaj bragging about his sons. Okay. So we're going to start by the story of Nanda with his son. Nanda Maharaj, he remembers in the first verse, verse 20, that his little boy had done all these wonderful activities. And to set the scene, you know, Uddhava had just come back, come to Vrindavan for the first time. Nanda Maharaj had met him at the arena. He saw him, he met him, the relatives, all the cowherd boys, they were there when Krishna performed all those feats in Mathura. So now Uddhava was just coming in into town, and he came at dusk. So the sun was just setting, and there were a lot of dust from the cows in the air, so nobody really noticed his chariot coming in. So he just kind of unperceived. But and then some folks perceived him. They'd say, wow, you know, he looks like Krishna. But how come we don't feel the joy that we feel when we see Krishna? And so that's all we're going to tell Nanda Maharaj, that, you know, this fella's here and he looks just like Krishna. And so then the Brijavasis told Nanda, and Nanda said, oh, he immediately knew it was Uddhava because he had met Uddhava before. And Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, they had long history. So that this is all one big family. Nanda Maharaj's father was Parjani Maharaj. And there is a passage that says, who is it? It's that Srila... I think it's because I read so many different stories. It was Jiva Goswami's Gopala Champu. There's a passage that says that when Nanda Maharaj first met Uddhava, he asked, so how is Vasudev doing? That was his first question. He wanted to know because, and he says in a Jiva Goswami's Chagopala Champu that Parjana Maharaj, that is Nanda Maharaj's father, understanding Vasudeva to be the son of his brother, protected him along with me. This is Nanda Maharaj speaking. Protected him along with me as a child. Vasudeva is not different from me. He is my close friend. So Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they were really close. And and I have to read to you this incredible description of Nanda Maharaj and when the Yasoda and Devaki were pregnant. So this is from Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushana Atsvarya Kadambini. It's a really beautiful description of. So this is text one. After entering the body of Sri Nanda, lotus eye Sri Krishna entered in the body of Sri Vasudev. Thereafter, Nanda and Vasudev transferred Sri Krishna to the hearts of Yashoda and Devaki, their respective wives, through proper initiation. They were delighted and gladly accepted Krishna in their hearts. By the arrangement of providence, both Yashoda and Devaki displayed symptoms of pregnancy. Seeing their bodies glowing like lightning, all the pious people rejoiced, and the hearts of the envious trembled. As the time of Mukunda's appearance approached, various musical instruments resounded everywhere, and the forest of Raja bloomed with flowers and fruits. All the Brijavasi brahmanas and devotees felt indescribable happiness in their hearts. On the eighth day of the Bhadra month, during the Rohini constellation, Yashoda, the queen of Raja, gave birth at midnight to a daughter named Durga and a son named Sri Hari. At the same time, Devaki also gave birth to a baby boy named Sri Hari. This auspicious event gladdened the hearts of all great souls. Upon seeing the Supreme Lord had become his son, Vasudeva thrilled with joy and mentally distributed 10,000 cows in charity due to the fear of Kamsa. However, Vasudeva quickly took his most powerful son, Krishna, to the house of his brother, Nanda. Vasudeva placed his son, Krishna, next to Yashoda and took away her daughter from Nanda's home. By the inconceivable potency of Yogamaya, the two sons merged and became one. After returning to Mathura, Vasudeva gave Yashoda's daughter to Kamsa. So this is how connected these two personalities were, Nanda and Uday and Vasudeva. So as the intensity of the love that Nanda Maharaj had for Krishna, you can imagine, you know, he had seen him and Yashoda, they had seen Krishna's when he opened his eyes for the first time, when his first little tooth came, when he used to look at him and smile like a little baby, so sweet. So here he's remembering this verse. He's in some of the verses here. Which one was it? The next one, verse 21. He's remembering his smiles, his eyes, and his, you know, sidelong glances. Imagine Krishna was so, so charming. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that little body, in that little baby body, had so much potential for giving pleasure to others. And so Yashoda, you know, she was nursing him. And there's a very intense bond for a mother, you know, be feeding the baby on her lap. And so all this, you know, and then he grew up and he was, you know, learning to walk and holding the little shoe, his father's shoe on his head, trying to please his father to bring his shoe to him. So all these emotions, they were there with Nanda and Yashoda. And in Nanda Yashoda's house, it was like a big party all the time because Radharani and her girlfriends used to come every morning. They wanted to come to Nanda's house and serve. So they were expert in serving. So Radharani cooked and Krishna ate what Radharani, you know, ate. So there was this bustling of, imagine Krishna and Radharani and the gopis, they're all little and they're all in your house and, you know, all this, you know, this little, this idea that we have, you know, when we connect with Krishna, there's so much pleasure. I imagine having your house with all these little kids, they're like full of joy. And so there's the joy that was there was immense. And so this unlimited joy in Nanda Maharaj's house. And then Uddhava arrives after, you know, Krishna's gone. And now we are to the next verse. So he, so Uddhava is described by Śrīla Jīva Goswami as the personification of bhakti, and like the king of devotees. And there is a very interesting description of, you know, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. You know, I buy these books from the table and on Sunday, and they are full of nectar. So I'm so glad that they are authorized, that we can dive into these. So in here, there's a chapter called The Sweetness of Krishna's Devotees. So it talks about Uddhava. So among all the Yadavas, however, Uddhava, whose astonishing glory is heard in the Bhagavatam, is the best. The Lord says in the 11th canto, O Uddhava, neither Brahma, nor Shankara, nor Sankarsana, nor Lakshmi, nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. And then next verse. It says also in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, among the devotees, you represent me, O Uddhava. And then from infancy, Uddhava's devotion to Krishna was the highest. And there's this, now it gives a little glimpse of Uddhava's childhood. In the third canto, it is said that Uddhava was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. So the Lord describes Uddhava. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. So imagine Uddhava, since he was a little boy in his house, he was so deeply in meditation to Krishna, with Krishna. You know what, like being the king of devotees and the personification of bhakti, you know what bhakti does? Bhakti, you know, stops you, the three kinds of distress. Like you don't want to sin anymore, you don't want to have anything to do with sinful activities. You lose the desire to perform any sinful activities. And you get clear from ignorance, because ignorance is a cause of bondage. Because you know who you are in your position as a servant and lover of Krishna. And bhakti also develops in a person humility and compassion and freedom from pride. And also to give honor to others. To give honor to others is a pleasure for the Vaishnava. So this is I find that these qualities are so important. And the more that we chant, the more that we practice this process of bhakti yoga, you know, it's something to look forward to. Imagine when you're a person that is a well-wisher to everyone, that you're humble enough that you can honor every person without envy, because envy is such a drawback, is such a down. So, you know, Uddhava, there's that one description of, let me see, this description of Uddhava by the Brijavasis, it's worth mentioning. So it goes like this: when Uddhava first arrived at the palace of Nanda Maharaj, he's outside and the devotees, Brijavasis, see him and say, if he is Krishna, why do we not feel the happiness we feel on seeing Krishna? He seems to have an indifferent attitude. So he was like sober, and you know, Krishna was Mr. Playful, and they looked the same, but different personalities. So he seems to have an indifferent attitude, though his form is similar. But it is not Krishna's form. He shines in his fine clothing. We will tell Nanda and Yashoda about this. So hearing their words, Nanda understood that he was Uddhava. Going outside, Nanda met him. When Uddhava offered his respects at Nanda's feet, Nanda raised him up, embracing him with tears in his eyes. He sat down and by his folded hands, brought him to Yashoda. He introduced him to her. This is Uddhava. So Yashoda had never met, because she did not go to Mathura. And so when Nanda Maharaj, there's a description that when Nanda Maharaj started questioning Uddhava, first he questioned about Vasudeva, and then he questioned about Krishna. Does he remember us? And does he think about his mother? Does he know, you know, does he remember the cows and that he fed with his own hands? And does he remember Vrindavan, that everything here is for him? And so Yashoda says that Yashoda was just becoming covered in tears, and milk started pouring out of her breast. So she was like Uddhava looked at her and said, she looks like a river. Imagine Yashoda was just totally in ecstasy. And that's how intense, you know, it's very difficult for us to to conceive the intensity of these pastimes. So Nanda was, you know, asking him, asking Uddhava about Krishna. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti said something interesting, that when he was, when Nanda Yashoda, they had witnessed a baby with no teeth and all that, and then the beautiful vision of Krishna, so they had all that exchange of love with Krishna. So they told Uddhava that by remembering this, they forget all the material engagements. And then Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says that that to stop Uddhava from suggesting that that going out of the house will make it better, just go for a stroll and try to forget, you know, feel better. Nanda Maharaj said that, but no, even when we go out of the house, we see all the places where Krishna had his pastimes. And Vrindavan is imprinted with his footprints everywhere. And so we remember him even more. So our suffering becomes even more intense. So how come Krishna, that, you know, he protects us, he protected us from so many unsurmountable dangers, how come he cannot come and protect us from this fire of separation? So that was the mood that, you know, in your conversation. And then Nanda starts saying, yes, because, you know, I know my sons are, they're like demigods. You know, they have a special mission from the demigods. You know, and Garga Rishi said that. And Garga Rishi was very skillful in his delivery of the astrological chart, because he did not say, oh, this boy is Narayana. No, he said, this boy has many, many incredible qualities, very exalted personalities, and he's just like Narayana, but not Narayana. So he did not say not Narayana, but he's just like Narayana. But for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, that was just like a glorifying way to exalt their sons. So they were just very pleased that their son had many, many good qualities. And when they looked at their feet, also Krishna's feet, they knew, you know, there was a special soul. He had all these markings in his feet. And so, you know, he was like a, you know, exalted demigod, but not Narayana, because that would have, you know, disturbed the love, the game of love from a parent to a child. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda did not have any awe and reverence for Krishna. They had this unconditional parental love that some of us, you know, can experience in this world, you know, this kind of attachment that, you know, you don't have to be, to actually bear a child, to feel love for a child. You can, you know, there are many adopted children, they are so loved, and the parents are so, you know, so dedicated. So this love exists. And so Nanda Maharaj was, in the last verse, he was bragging actually when he said that, oh, my sons, you know, they went to Mathura and they killed Kamsa. Kamsa was as strong as 10,000 elephants. And also the wrestlers, Janura and Mastika, you know, they were like big, big men. And he was telling Uddhava, you know, Krishna just, and Balaram just killed them sportingly. So like it was just a play thing, no effort. So he was bragging about his sons. He said, just see, my sons, what they did. It's so amazing. And then the last verse. And that was the last verse. Yes. So they killed them sportingly, just like a lion disposes of small animals. So this is how I when I read this, I thought that, yeah, you know, he's a proud parent, just telling how his sons are so cool. And he had, seen Krishna growing up and doing, lifting a mountain and protecting them from humongous monsters like the bull demon and the Agasura, the huge Putana. Oh my gosh, he was just a baby when he did that. So Nanda Maharaj was kind of used to see Krishna perform these awesome things. And so he was bragging. And Krishna Balaram killed Kamsa. Kamsa was, was tormenting them for so long. Kamsa was a hater of the Yadus. He was an enemy of the Yadus. He hated them with passion. And Krishna just took him out sportingly. That big, powerful king that terrified everybody. Yep. That's my boy. So that's how Krishna and Balaram and how Nanda Maharaj is describing Krishna in this verse. And Nanda Maharaj was very polite, because although he was feeling all these separation from Krishna, instead of receiving Uddhava and say, how's my son? How's he doing? No, he was saying, he first welcomed him in. Would sit him down in a nice bed, give him prasadam, gave him foot massage. And when Uddhava was very relaxed, and then he started asking him questions. So a nice etiquette for Vaishnavas that shows that concern for others instead of for the self. Although he was feeling so much suffering, he was in a fire separation from Krishna, he was kind enough to receive Uddhava with all attention and caring and humility and honoring others. So does he show the, the pure devotee qualities. And to conclude, I felt very fortunate to have opportunity to speak on these verses, because the Krishna topics are just an ocean of bliss. So Mukunda, enjoy his pastimes. I'm going to read again all four verses, because they are beautiful. We were saved by the forest fire, the wind and rain, the bull and serpent demon, from all such unsurmountable deadly dangers, by that very great soul Krishna. As we remember the wonderful deeds Krishna performed, his playful sidelong glances, his smiles, and his words, O Uddhava, we forget all our material engagements. When we see the places where Mukunda enjoy his sporting pastimes, the rivers, hills, and forests he decorated with his feet, our minds become totally absorbed in him. In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Garga Rishi. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the wrestlers Janura Mustika and the elephant Kuvalayapida. They killed them as all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of small animals. And one more point that I did not mention about the words. I talk about this class as the smiles of Krishna. His words. Imagine that when he was 7 years old, he was asking Nanda Maharaj, when Nanda Maharaj was preparing everything for the Indra Yagya, Krishna came with these very elaborate questions, and he wanted to know about everything. And So Nanda Maharaj explained, and then Krishna went into a very deep conversation with him to convince him otherwise. So, you know, a seven-year-old, very clever with his words. I was one more thing that I wanted to say. All right, I'll stop here. Anybody with questions or comments? Madhamohan.
When you were mentioning how the residents, they forgot all their external engagements when they were thinking about Krishna, it reminded me of other personalities that aren't in Braj that are called avadutas, that they also get absorbed, but because they're not in Braj, they don't fit anywhere. They just kind of walk around and people don't know what to make of them. They talk, but a lot of times they're considered incoherent because they're absorbed. So here we're actually seeing the residents that are in that situation with other similar-minded personalities. But if you take them out and you put them in another spot, something like the Ugly Duckling story, you know, you put a swan amongst the ducks, they don't fit in. And just one other kind of a pun, when he was looking at Krishna's foot, he said, "This is an amazing soul."
And it meant for Radharani's feet as well. When they looked at Radharani's feet, little baby's feet, said, so, "Oh, this is a special girl."
Well, just soul.
Soul.
The soul special of your foot. Soul. You know, there's the heel and there's the soul of a foot.
So. Okay.
I just try to figure things out.
So Radharani's soul was very special as well. Jai. And this, when you were talking, you made me talk about the avadutas, made me remember a passage that I read, talking about the, you know, what Krishna and Balaram did with his mother. So it says that Mother Yashoda used to gather paraphernalia and goods and go out to the sages' hermitages and to give them, you know, foods and supplies and Krishna used to go with them, with her, and to donate to the sages. I thought, because I had never read that before, I thought that was very insightful of, you know, what kind of activities, you know, Mother Yashoda was a mother that did all these duties that, you know, mothers do, including taking the son out to give charity to the sages. I thought that was very nice to hear.
Did the sages recognize Krishna?
Oh, yes. Yes. And there was some passages I read, I don't know where it is now, but the sages, the kind of prayers that they say to Krishna, they pray, yeah, they make, you know, they glorify Krishna, but, you know, as an exalted soul. Yes. Madhumati. What do you have today?
Just absorbed in my class.
Madhumati is absorbed. She's always absorbed in Krishna's Leela. Jai. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.